Hey everybody, today we're continuing through the book of Amos. Today's passage is from Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 16. Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 16. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have rejected the law of the Lord, and have not kept his statutes. But their lies have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. So I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth, and turn aside the way of the afflicted. A man and his father go into the same girl, so that my holy name is profaned. They lay themselves down beside every altar, on garments taken in pledge, and in the house of their God they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and who was as strong as the oaks. I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and led you 40 years in the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up some of your sons for prophets, and some of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not indeed so, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy. Behold, I will press you down in your place, as a cart full of sheaves presses down. Flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not retain his strength, nor shall the mighty save his life. He who handles the bow shall not stand, and he who is swift of foot shall not save himself, nor shall he who rides the horse save his life. And he who is stout of heart among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, declares the Lord. So as you might remember, if you were with us yesterday, we read through a number of basically judgments that God is placing on the surrounding neighbors of Israel. And you have to remember that this is not just a written text that just appeared, but this is the prophet Amos actually speaking to the people. And so you can imagine that when he's starting off his prophecy, just bringing down judgment upon the surrounding nations, the people of Israel may have been kind of excited about that. They might have been happy to hear that, yeah, God is bringing judgment upon our Gentile neighbors. But that excitement was probably short-lived as they then receive their own judgment. The judgment upon Judah, which we read first, isn't very long, which makes sense because, again, remember, Amos is addressing Israel. But the shared theme of the judgments upon both Judah and Israel is that both have failed to keep the law of the Lord. Again, Amos doesn't go into detail for Judah, but he's quite straightforward. He says, Judah has rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his statutes. And then for Israel, we get into some very clear and frankly disheartening examples of how they have rejected the law of the Lord. There is greed, dehumanization, self-centeredness, sexual immorality, and the profaning of that which is sacred. They not only turned away from the Lord, they actively prevented others from doing so as well, leading Nazarites to drink wine, commanding prophets not to prophesy. And honestly, as I read this and prepared for this devotional, it made me actually pretty sad. I see the immense injustices taking place. Because again, read like verse 6 again. It says, they sell the righteous, as in they sell righteous people for silver, and they sell the needy for a pair of sandals. The poor are being trampled, and the afflicted are being cast aside. What's being done here by the Israelites is incredibly unjust and really just tragic. And as I read this, I wish we could say that this is only applicable to Israel at this specific point in time. But I think we all know that's unfortunately very far from the truth. I was shocked to read recently that, according to one analysis, the world's billionaires increased their fortunes by 54% during the first year of the pandemic, while at the same time poverty rates increased. During a year when so many people suffered, they went through so much loss and pain, it seems that the rich got richer and the poor continued to suffer even more. Now, I bring this up not as some kind of financial expert or with some kind of political stance or even with a solution, but, and I'm also not trying to insinuate that every wealthy person takes advantage of the poor. But I am pointing out that the great disparities and injustices of this kind exist today as well. That's not isolated to biblical times. So admittedly, this has been a pretty heavy and sobering devo so far, but I do want to end with a final thought here, and it's that, yes, we have to recognize that injustices exist. That's an unfortunate truth. It existed back in the time of Israel, and they exist today. But fortunately, not only is God aware of this, he despises these things, and his judgment, his righteousness is coming, and it's being done now, and it is coming in full. God is bringing judgment upon Israel here in our passage because of their acts of injustice. He's calling them out for their sin and unrighteousness. And I think this is, in many ways, a source of comfort for us. It reminds us, it shows us that our God is a God of justice, and he won't stand for these kinds of sins, this kind of brokenness, this unrighteousness. Ultimately, his righteousness will prevail. And it's our call, our mission to join in on his works of righteousness. Of course, not in a self-righteous sense of thinking that we're better than others or that we are going to bring some kind of judgment or condemnation upon others who are living in this unrighteous or evil kind of way. But we have an opportunity to join in God's work. That as we understand his righteousness, as we understand what he is doing, that we can join in his work and pursue his righteousness where we are. And so with this, let me just pray for us. Let's pray for God's righteousness to prevail, to be done in and around us. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. And it is a sobering text, Lord, to see that God, that you are bringing about judgment upon a people because of the great injustices they have done. The ways that they've been living are not according to your ways. And Lord, the unfortunate reality is that we see this all around us today as well, God. Not to say this in some kind of condemning kind of way, but we see the brokenness, we see the injustices, we see the disparities that exist. And Lord, it's disheartening, it's saddening, it's frustrating. But Father, help us to not grow in despair or sorrow, but Lord, yes, to mourn, but also to join in your works of righteousness. Help us to pursue your goodness, Lord, your justice, God, that we might be able to see your righteous works being done around us, Lord. And we know that, God, that this world will be filled with brokenness until the day that you return. But Lord, we want to bring your kingdom wherever we are, God, and bring about your works of justice and righteousness in the ways that we live, Lord. So give us wisdom, give us guidance in this matter, Lord, individually and as a church, God. And again, we thank you. Thank you that you are God of justice, that you won't stand evil or brokenness, that you are working, Lord. So God, we thank you again for this time. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.